Let us pray. Lord, guide mouth and ears, that we may speak and hear your voice, guiding us, urging and persuading. In Jesus' name, amen. There are a number of different translations of the various gospel readings, and I'm using the translation which says, I am the door, rather than I am the gate. The meaning's the same, but just to warn you, I'll use the word door when Mick read gate. As I said at the beginning of the service, there is this phrase, I am, used a number of times by Jesus. He talks about being, I am the bread, the vine, the way, the truth, the light, the life, the resurrection, the door, and the good shepherd. Jesus is speaking as if he is speaking God's words. I am is a phrase used about God himself. The God is saying, I am the door, I am the bread, I am the vine, and so on. And it's being epitomized in Jesus himself. But you need a bit of context so you can see why it's all happening. A few verses after our reading, we're told that these comments from Jesus took place at the Feast of the Dedication, which is known as Hanukkah by the Jews. It's the events surrounding the destruction of the temple in the year BC 188. Jews were being invaded by the Greeks in particular, who were determined to wipe out the Jewish religion. And one of the things they did was to destroy the temple in that year. Many of the Jews fought strongly against the invasion, and many gave their life to try to save the temple. They were led by the Maccabees. If you want to read their story, then go to the Apocrypha, which are the readings which were written between the Old Testament and the New. There are four books of the Maccabees, and in there you read their story about the defense of the temple. People prepared to lay down their life to defend the Jewish religion. They fought hard, but were in vain. The temple was destroyed, but 4 years later, the temple was rebuilt and was dedicated. And that gave rise to the Feast of Hanukkah, always thinking back to the future, the hope that was reborn, the resurrection of the temple. And the temple was always seen as the centre of worship and of being so important. And this fact of the Hanukkah, the resurrection, would have been going through people's minds when Jesus was talking about being the shepherd and the door. It was at the same time, same thing happening. And it would be going through their mind and affecting the way they were thinking about things. But let's go back a minute. How many of you take things for granted? We take so many things for granted, like the NHS, for example, or parts of our body, like our fingers, or our eyes, for example, or objects like knives and forks, or our friends and our relatives, and even the weather. As I hinted earlier, today it's Sunday. Tomorrow it's bank holiday, so you know it's going to rain. We take it for granted, don't we? Jesus says, I am the door. And you might legitimately say, what? What on earth are you talking about? Because we take our doors for granted. When did you last really look at your front door? I dare you when you go home. When did you give thanks for your door? A door is so important to us. It marks the boundary of where we are, where we live, and it guarantees a form of safety and security. It's the door which we also open to welcome people in, where people can come and join us. Or we can keep it shut and keep people out if we want to. It allows us to withdraw to a place where we can feel at home, we can relax, and just be ourselves, where we can eat what we like, we can sit in front of the television with a can of baked beans and a spoon, and nobody can touch you for it. Or we can wear ridiculous clothes, or we can do cartwheels in the kitchen, and it's nobody else's decision. Doors can protect our safety and our stupidity and our choices and our way of life. All I can say is, thank heaven for doors. Not long ago, Heather and I were burgled. Well, we thought we had been. In the middle of the night, I went to the loo, and there on the landing was this horrible, hairy bloke. And I pulled myself up to my full height. I was prepared to throw him out the house. And I suddenly realised it was myself, reflected in a long mirror that Heather had left on the landing. So I didn't throw myself out. But I did give thanks that the door had done its job and kept me safe. My task each night is to go round the house and check all the doors, make sure they're all safe and locked and ready, and convince myself that we are as safe as we can be. Thank heavens for jobs, for doors. Much of what I said can also refer to what Jesus is saying about himself as a door. The door. He's offering a way to a safer and more stable place. Our own place, where we can be the people we were given the possibility to be. A place of development and joy. A place of security and home and love. A way to meet his Father. But, as we give thanks for our safety and our security, we should also be thinking of those for whom being behind a locked door, we are in a place of suffering, torment and abuse. People for whom a locked door keeps out help, support and advice. The things they need most. We've heard over the past year so many accounts of examples of battered wives and husbands and abused children who have been imprisoned behind a door. I even heard the account of a man who deliberately made himself homeless to get away from an abusive and violent wife. Doors and walls, which outwardly appear good, but in reality are anything but. And this is not to mention the number of people who live in isolation, behind closed doors. There was a case highlighted recently on the radio of a lady called Sheila Salami. She lived in a block of flats in London and died alone and lay undiscovered for 2.5 years. Nobody realised. She lived in isolation. But that's not getting away from what Jesus is saying. He's telling us that the door to a safe place and a secure place is what he is. A way to see the Father. A way to go in and meet the Father and to understand what he is about. He's always calling on us both to accept the safety and security he provides, but also as his followers, to provide a place in his name for those who are in need, for those who need the care and protection that they don't need elsewhere. That's precisely why we have safeguarding training, so that we can be sure that we are making things safe and secure for all God's people, but especially for the vulnerable. The reading was supposed to stop after verse 10, but I included the next verses because I thought it was appropriate to add on the verses about the Good Shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. The role of the shepherd in his day was vital. Vital to the safety of the sheep and the economic stability of the owners who entrusted the care of their sheep to a hired person, a hired shepherd. Owners had to rely on the integrity of the shepherd so that the sheep would be cared for under all circumstances. Actually, it just sounds like the job description for a Member of Parliament, doesn't it? Asking for integrity and care for all sheep. During the day, the shepherd would lead the flock of sheep to places of food and water, roaming over the countryside to where it was good to be. But also, while doing so, to keep an eye out for marauding thieves or wild animals. He'd have to be prepared to stand his ground against all forms of attack and not run away and save his own skin. He'd be putting his life on the line for his charges. However, the duty of the shepherd did not end at sunset. His role then was to make sure that the sheep were safe inside the sheepfold. Usually the sheepfold was a surround of stones and rocks. He'd usher the sheep in, and then the shepherd would lie down in front of the entrance to make sure that nobody could get into the sheep and attack them, and they would feel safe and secure. His bravery and his skills were vital to keep them safe. At the door, he was access to safety, nourishment, and to life itself, and he would fight to the death to repel intruders or enemies. On another occasion, Jesus talks about lost sheep. Sheep who must rejoin his flock. The sheep who might be lost. But he must leave the ones who are safe and go and rescue those who are strayed and those who simply did not know him. We're going to see a picture now on the screen. I hope we are indeed. Good. Thanks, Kathy. Painted by my favourite German artist, a man called Ziga Kurda. And if you look carefully, you see the close relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. They are one eye of one and one eye of the other, and they are seeing eye to eye. He is carrying that sheep in his arms because he loves it and it's in danger. The shepherd cares for his sheep. I wonder how each one feels. The shepherd feels wonderful that he's got his sheep and can care for it. The sheep feels safe and loved and wanted. Rescued from danger. The shepherd, the good shepherd, knows the needs of each of his sheep and will be aware of their individual characters. More than that, he'll be prepared to put his life on the line to care for his sheep. Now, logically, if there's a good shepherd, there must be a bad shepherd. Otherwise, why use the word good? Jesus is obviously hinting at those who exclude and reject God's sheep. Earlier in the previous chapter to what we read, Jesus heals a man who is born blind. And he's challenged by the Pharisees and the scribes to defend what has happened to him and to talk about Jesus. And he says something like this, well, if I've been made to be able to see, and I couldn't before, God must be in this, so God must be in Jesus. And because he says that, the Pharisees and scribes exclude him from the temple. They kick him out and say he's not allowed to worship. He would love to go into the temple and worship and praise God for what he has received. But the bad shepherds, those who have a duty of care for the whole of the flock of sheep, have rejected some because they don't meet their standards. The bad shepherd is a barrier, a shut door for someone who is in need. Jesus is offering himself as our good shepherd and our good door. From all that life can send, he offers the image of one who protects and cares. He offers himself to us. He is prepared to lay down his life for us. That is the lasting feeling we have from Easter, a Christ who dies for us. I suppose we might also say that sheep inside the safe fold might be feeling a little smug. Look what we've got, they might say. Look how lucky we are. But Jesus offers a warning to the smug. I have other sheep to care for who are not of this fold. Those two I must bring into the fold to be with you. We claim as Christians that we follow him in his way. That means being like him, being door and shepherd in our own personal situations. As door, we make ourselves available to all who need the security that they yearn for. And as shepherds, to those around us, we need to provide comfort, warmth, food and shelter for those in need. Our food banks, our warm places, our advice centres, our pastoral care are physical examples of the door and the shepherd that we provide for our community. Jesus says he has other sheep that do not yet belong here, but who must be drawn in and treated as precious sheep. And there are no exclusions allowed. All are welcome in the sheepfold of the Great Shepherd. Over Easter, I had a fun time. I spent some time looking at the theories of the atonement. Some people have great fun. They include theories of Jesus as a scapegoat, as a victim, as a substitute, as a victor in battle, as a new Adam, and as satisfaction for God's anger, and so on. All well and good, and there are advocates of each of these points of view. But in the end, it all comes down to this. Christ came for the sake of the whole world, that we might be drawn to the Father and might serve him in love and devotion. We are to accept Christ as our own personal shepherd and door, but also we are called to be a door, both open for welcome and closed for safety, and a good shepherd, both guide and protector, the one who gives up self for the sake of God's people. I want to end with showing you one final picture. Same artist, Kerda, and we are to consider ourselves to be the child, held in God's love. And the colours are the colours of the rainbow, which was a sign of God's covenant love and permanent desire for his people. I'm going to leave you in silence to look at that and imagine yourself as that child, being supported and loved and cared for by God. Amen.